another fantastic week of the NFL season. The Packers take control of the NFC North. The Chiefs are 6-7. The Rams with a bounce back win. And we got the Chargers potentially might beat the Eagles. This is the Full Maruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Full Maruski Podcast, powered by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got the whole gang here, Justin Tucker, CJ Medeiros, Adam Wright from beneath the control room, and myself, Chris Kostich. And the reason why that we have the whole gang here is it's the 5-year anniversary of the Full Maruski Podcast that was started by Adam Wright. I only just joined here. What? I've been here like 2 years out of the 3?
What? Tuck's a founder too.
Or Tuck, sorry.
No problem.
My bad. Adam and Tuck started this 5 years ago to this day. I only joined in about 3 years ago. Three years ago, yeah. CJ, how long have you been here?
Four.
Four? How about that?
Yeah, full presidential term, man.
Nice. That's how we do. How about that? Well, Adam, Tuck, since you guys are the longest tenured guys here, Nathan, any words you want to say?
I was granted emergency powers. I'm further than a presidential term. I'm saying, you know what? Let's still go another term. Let's go 2028. Let's just all take right, that FBI. One too.
I'm just grateful that we've been able to do this for so long. I'm happy to have the boys with me. Happy to keep this going. Just proud of everything we were able to accomplish.
And I'll certainly have more words at the end of the episode, just so that we can get through all the content. But yeah, this has been a great 5 years. It's been great building this up with you guys and you know, making new friends and working with you guys every week. It's been awesome to work on this thing.
Hell yeah. All right. CJ, you want to say any words now before we really get going?
Yeah, I'll save it for the end.
All right. Start out with our Ruski game of the week, Packers and the Bears. The Bears walked into the tundra and did what CJ and I said on Friday, got the loss, but boy, did they go down swinging. Beginning this game, I thought it was going to be all the Packers the entire way. Caleb Williams only had like 10 passing yards at the 5-minute mark of the second quarter, but boy, he lit it up. And he made some freaking plays in the fourth quarter. Like Caleb Williams, has he been the best quarterback I've ever seen? No. Has he played like some decent games to get his team some wins? Yeah. Like Caleb Williams right now is a quarterback that you can 100% win with. And obviously CJ and Adam say it all the time. Is a quarterback that you can win because of? I'm not sure just yet. But he still had a good game. Jordan Love threw a bad pick in the first half, but turned it up immediately. Jordan Love Toyota-thon was alive and well. 234 yards, 3 touchdowns along with that pick. And both quarterbacks only in sacked one time. All in all, at the end of the day, Packers now at the top of the NFC North division. The Bears, they get shot back down the standings. And, I mean, the way that the NFC is lining up right now, we might see an 11-6 team miss the playoffs. That is how competitive it is right now. So in terms of the NFC playoff race, Rams at the top, Packers are now the 2 seed. The Bears drop down to the 7 seed with the Seahawks getting a win today on Sunday. Bucks currently hold the 4 spot, but by a freaking for dear life. Panthers are right on their ass. But let's go around the table. CJ, we'll start with you. Thoughts on this game and what does it mean going down the road?
Well, just some classic NFC North football, really. Green Bay Packers just reminding the whole world who little brother is in that division. You know, knocking the Chicago Bears, not one, not two, not three, but six spots down the standings, knocking them from number one to number seven. Packers, of course, jumping up to the two seed, firmly in the driver's seat in the NFC North. But while I will say it's a great match, it was a great game for Green Bay, don't celebrate too soon. You got to tangle with the Bears one more time, this time at historic Soldier Field. But for me, a lot of it is Caleb Williams. He's really frustrating to me. You know, we always talk about, oh, can you win with Williams? Can you win because of him? But it's just so maddening because of his horrible, slow starts that just kill the Bears. And when he starts out the game ice cold and he's sluggish, it's just not fair to the rest of the team that they have to just dig themselves out of it. And who knows, maybe even win this game if he's not completing only 30% of his passes in like the first half. He still went 19 of 35, which is not great. 186 yards, that's not great at all. Two touchdowns, solid, but then that brutal game-ending pick to Keyshawn Nixon, where you had all three timeouts under 1 minute. Why are you going for the dagger? That was a horrible throw, too. Nixon had a better shot at that than Loveland did. So, yeah, these are the things I think Williams is going to grow out of. But before I pass the mic to Tucker Adam, Chris, do you remember what we said last week about how this game determines whether or not the Bears are contenders or pretenders?
Yes.
Well, we have our answer.
I feel like that we're going to be on very different wavelengths here.
No, like but do I put them over the Packers? No, I still don't. I still don't think they're the scariest team in the NFC North. Maybe pretenders is a bit harsh, but
I think they're still contenders.
Still raises more questions about Williams. I like their defense, I like their running game, but what you get out of Williams is just so he's a grab bag play to play, and that's going to hurt him a lot in the future.
What I'll say is the last play of the game, I saw more of the Packers just having a better defensive game plan for that play, because the Bears ran that play once before, and Williams ended up scrambling for a fourth down, third and short conversion. I forget what it was. But they ran a similar play, basically the same exact play, but it was through the other side. Packers saw the setup, called timeout, talked about it, and ended up forcing Williams to have to end up making a throw because he wasn't going to be able to make the first down if he ended up running it. Obviously the throw from Caleb Williams was bad in itself. So definitely not going to disagree with you with that. But I thought the way the Bears fought in this game, they're definitely contenders, and they're a team that's going to be able to hang around with some of these better teams. Duck, I'll pass it off to you.
Toyota-thon is in full swing. This is that time of year where all of a sudden Jordan Love shows up and plays like he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, even though he'll play abysmal for the first 2 months. Congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. They survived beating on the Chicago Bears and now taking the lead in the NFC North and now having control over their own destiny when it comes to that division. Congrats to them. I thought they were going to win Sunday afternoon. They came out, pulled the W. There's that. Not too bad from Caleb Williams. Now, the game-deciding interception is heartbreaking, but I didn't think he had a bad game. He just had a lot of unfortunate things happen. But that game-ending interception, I think he'll build on from that, but that's just one you just can't have. Unfortunate, but it is what it is. Chicago. Not outside looking in, but they're in the wild card spot now. I'm not sure if they'll gain the division back over unless something happens and the Packers just outright lose to someone, which I don't see happening. I think they would have to lose two games now because they have the games in hand against them. So all in all, it's not very good for Chicago, but I still think they're a major problem to deal with, especially with that defense and that running game. If they can sustain those things, they can be a threat to any team in the NFC, including the Rams, who are now the first seed. But all in all, congrats to the Green Bay Packers. They looked good in victory. And better luck next time, Chicago. There's always next year.
Adam.
I want to build off of CJ's point regarding Caleb Williams. And it really is a mixed bag. And I definitely do see a lot of potential there. But there's something about... Have you guys noticed all season long how often Caleb Williams is leaving the pocket to try and make a play? Like, it feels like almost every play he's running around. I don't remember him making a play where he was just standing there in the pocket, stepping up and just, you know, throwing one down the field or even just dumping one off. He's always trying to make the big play. And you can respect that competitiveness, but I'm starting to see a pattern here with the Bears as far as quarterback development. And we've alluded to this before on this show, but I think there's not enough that's being looked into as far as the Bears being able to develop quarterbacks correctly. We saw it with Justin Fields. He wasn't able to scan the field correctly, and he made his best plays also when he was running around. It kind of ruined his development if he even was the guy to begin with. And we're kind of seeing that with Caleb. And I think Caleb Williams is a much better player than Justin Fields was, than Mitch Trubisky was before him. But we're seeing, Tom Brady used to say this, and I think he said this last year, there's not enough that's being said about organizations with developing quarterbacks, and we're seeing that with Chicago. Again, I like Caleb Williams. I think this Bears team as a whole is a playoff team, looks solid, but your priority number one this early in your so-called rebuild should be developing that quarterback and making sure he becomes the elite guy. Don't sacrifice the short term. Don't sacrifice the long term for a short term game. Maybe Caleb Williams does make some amazing highlight reel plays, but he's not going to do that forever. You've got to teach him how to play the quarterback position correctly because it doesn't look good.
I will say, like, there's definitely a good amount of plays that Ben Johnson would like designed rollout, but I still see your point. Like, there are still some plays where Caleb Williams is trying to extend when he probably doesn't need to, or maybe that's just like the play calling itself.
I mean, Justin Fields, you remember that one year he held the ball for like over 3.5 seconds on average that one season. And we're seeing the same thing with Caleb Williams. He holds the ball for way too long and tries to make the highlight reel play. He's taking too many hits. He's making pretty big mistakes. I just think it's not sustainable what they're doing over there in Chicago.
It's understandable. And obviously with Chicago's past, it's very reasonable to have these doubts and whatnot. I think at the end of the day, we're still also year one of Ben Johnson and trying to develop Caleb Williams into a quarterback that's the number one pick.
So next year is year three. So we will find out whether or not this kid could play probably next year. But
yeah,
I just don't trust Chicago. That's just one thing about quarterbacks.
That's very understandable. All right. Anything else we want to get on from this game? All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Chiefs falling. What?
Am I doing it or are you doing it?
I'm doing it.
Okay.
Chiefs are falling to 6-7. That's after the break. This is the Full Brewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Brewski Podcast. Justin Tucker, CJ Medeiros, Adam Wright, Chris Kostich. Let's get into, well, before we went to the break, said Chiefs falling 6-7. That's the obviously one of the main storylines here. But make this more of an overarching topic of the AFC South, since earlier in the day, Daniel Jones tearing his Achilles in the 36-19 loss to the Jaguars. So Which one do we want to touch on here for first, gentlemen?
Let's touch on the Chiefs first.
Let's touch on the Chiefs. All right. Chiefs falling to 6-7, 20-10 loss on Sunday Night Football to the Texans. This was just like a defensive slugfest all around. And we kind of just saw the Chiefs more or less make mistakes and make plays that they would not make last year. And just plays in general that are not going their way. So overall, at this point, at 6-7, they are not making the playoffs. I just can't foresee them doing it at this rate. Go around the table. Adam, start with you.
There's a couple narratives to look at when it comes to this game. As far as the Chiefs losing to the Texans, they fall below 500. I believe this is the first time this late in the season, under the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid era. And when it comes to, like, for starters, it's the question of, is the dynasty over? My answer to that would be, did Patrick Mahomes die? Because he's 30 years old and he still has a lot of football left. Maybe they need to retool. And you'll probably still have at least a couple more years of Andy Reid, but they'll be back at some point. The most intriguing one is all non-Chiefs fans and the duality as far as the way they look at Kansas City. On one hand, they'll say they'll be celebrating the end of the dynasty or saying, see, they suck. And then they'll also say, see, we don't have to play them in the playoffs. Those two things can't be true at once. On one hand, you cannot say, well, see, the Chiefs suck. They're done. And then be relieved that you don't have to see them in the postseason. One of those things has to be true. You have to pick one. And let's say you're a team like, and I'm gonna exclude Denver because Denver's in the division. You can understand from their point of view, they don't have to see them, the formidable Chiefs, twice a year. That's understandable. But if you're like New England or Buffalo, what would you rather see? Would you rather, if you're New England, host Kansas City or host Houston? You might hate me. You might hate me, but I'm going to choose Kansas City. I'd rather take on Kansas City. They're undermanned. There's a lot of teams that I would rather face the Kansas City Chiefs over them. And that's what I look at as far as this Chiefs team. If they really do suck and they're done, why do we care so much that we don't have to face them? Why do we care? Especially teams in the AFC playoff picture. That's what I'm seeing a lot of. A lot of people are on one hand saying this team sucks, and on another hand saying, whew, glad we don't have to face them. It's like you can't pick both of those things, and that's what I'm seeing here. So there's my take.
CJ?
Oh, my God. This was a very – I say this whenever they lose, but this is just, once again, just a very un-Chiefs-style game. I remember watching that game, sitting down and watching it. Hadn't really been keeping track of a lot of the games, only just on my phone. I was hanging out with friends the whole day. And, you know, I sit down really to just enjoy some Sunday night football. And it's 10-10 in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, all right, when's the KCBS coming? I know it's around the corner. And it just never did. You know, we always expect the Chiefs to convert these fourth downs in a blink of an eye. But dropped passes? Hitting Rashee Rice right in the breadbasket just for him to drop it? Like, what? Then Travis Kelce, granted the throw was a little behind him, but he got both his hands on the ball, and he just said, no, Azeez Al-Shaair, you have this. Like he was proposing to Taylor Swift. This was just bizarre. And once again, Chris, I know you talk about how the analytics say do this now. I personally say screw the analytics. But once again, we saw the great resurgence of Eagles Andy Reid, where he goes into the 2-minute warning with zero timeout.
All right.
Nolo dialing up the blitz. C.J. Stroud just gets out of the pocket, puts it over the linebackers, under the safety, some beautiful ball placement. Or when Houston gets into the red zone, Chiefs selling out to stop the run. Woody Marks and at one point Dare Ogunbowale just saying, how about I get a touchdown anyway? So, yeah, that just was weird. Also, Mahomes, this has got to be among one of his worst games as a starter. Like what was that, like
three? It is his worst game as a starter.
Yeah, like 30-some-odd, like, QBR, three interceptions, all the Kelsey.
It was 18.9.
Oh, 18. I saw some in the fourth quarter. Never mind. That's my bad. But that, you know, the Kelsey one wasn't really his fault, but the other two, those are not good looks, especially the one to start the fourth quarter where they try to take the top off the Houston defense. But I got news for you. You don't do that to the Houston defense. That's exactly why I think Adam is right in saying, I do not want to face Houston in the playoffs. I'd rather face Kansas City. That defense is terrifying. I mean, I won't put them on the same pedestal, but I have not seen a defense this formidable probably since the Legion of Boom. And as far as the Chiefs go, it's now a numbers game. You're still the 10th seed, and I'm looking at the playoff picture right now on NFL.com. Their odds are 14%. And I hear these Chiefs fans saying, oh, don't let us in the playoffs. We're just going to run the table to get in. Well, newsflash, this is not a run the table type of team, and you still have Denver to play. But most of all, it's not enough they run the table. And I'll end with this. It's not enough they run the table. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Kansas City Chiefs' fate is now in the hands of other teams. You can't just win. You need other teams to lose. And honestly, might be a little early, but I'm not sure that happens.
Yeah. Just the timeout. You get me riled up about the timeouts thing, man. You really do. Not like an actual riled up, but like,
dude, I don't care. I know the analytics say, oh, it's cool to do this.
It's not even like,
well, I do not care for the analytics. The Lion does not care about the analytics, Chris.
Well, I would. It's not even the analytics for me. It's just like, what difference does it make if, like, say, let's take last week, for example, right? They're down 7 and blanking on whoever the fuck was driving in on them, but team driving down, Chiefs are down by 7.
Cowboys?
Yeah, the Cowboys. Yeah. Cowboys up 7, they drive down. Andy Reid is using his timeouts. Like, what difference does it make if he holds on to those timeouts anyways? Because, like, Cowboys are just going to kick the field goal and make it a two-score game. You have no timeouts and chance for recovering an onside kick are little to none. So, like, what's the difference of doing that compared to, like, after the two-minute warning when, at that point, the game really is at, like, if we were to follow that
same stop beating the clock after, I don't know.
That's just my.
I'm just saying, man. Like, also, but also, the defense has got to stiffen up too. Like,
yeah, but yeah.
But still, like,
we can.
I don't know. Once again, that's Eagles Andy Reid that did that, and now in the Big 25, we're seeing Eagles Andy Reid results. There is a correlation in my eyes, but that's just me.
Also, that Chiefs defense was actually pretty good last night.
Like, oh yeah,
Like, if I'm,
except for like the fourth quarter, but yeah.
I would have placed a lot more faith in that Kansas City defense if I was Andy Reid. They did not have a chance in that game because of the offense, which is probably what Andy Reid isn't used to nowadays. They had a chance because of their defense, and I think they should have placed a little more faith and played a little more of a conservative type of ball in order to help you win that game.
I'll go a step further. If you want to look at any spot that is in the timeouts of Eagles Andy Reid, it's going for it on fourth down from your own 25. Like,
yeah, that was weird. You're like sitting here in a prime spot. Like, what was that? Do you like not trust your defense that much?
Which is
Adam would argue to the contrary, and Adam would be correct.
Yeah, because it's a 10-10 game at that point. Like, that's all it is.
Like, if you don't make that, like I said, you're setting Houston up in like amazing territory. Like, despite the fact your defense had still been playing well, I don't know, man. What are the Chiefs this season? What is this 25 season?
I don't know. Tuck, give us an answer. What are the Chiefs?
They could still win out, but I'm not sure if they would get in over any other team. I could see them winning out, but if I'm Denver, I'm putting the nail in the coffin. I don't want to deal with them. Just get it over with. Put them out of their misery. I don't know what's going on with Kansas City right now, but I think it's time. Travis Kelce, you've had an amazing career, but I really don't want to say it because I do respect you for everything you've done in your career, but put the fries in the bag, bro. You're cuffed. You're done. I wish I didn't have to say that.
No, I said Kelce.
Kelce. Not Mahomes. Kelce.
Yeah.
He's just not the same anymore. He doesn't have the same burst. He doesn't have the same speed. He doesn't get open the same way. Granted, he can still get open, but it's more due to like intellect than it is just ability now. And it's obvious. And without Patrick Mahomes, it's a little harder. I think most of it is just him and Patrick Mahomes having chemistry together. I hope
he looks mentally out of it too. Something.
But all in all, it's time. It's just not their year this year. A lot of injuries, a lot of situations. Sheet Rice in his situation, them starting off in the hole, trying to climb themselves out of it. Denver looking as good as they do. Just all in all, it's been a bad year, both offensively. The defense has been good. However, the offense hasn't been able to be what we're used to out of the offense. So all in all, as much as I want to take enjoyment out of seeing Kansas City like lose and be missing the playoffs, it's a matter of course. I think they'll replenish next year and be better than what they are, and then we'll be like, oh, here comes Kansas City again. But it's just not their year this year, and they're not the only team, but we'll get to them.
Yeah, and like if the Chiefs dynasty always gets compared to the Pats dynasty now. If you look at the Pats dynasty, there were plenty of years that wasn't their year either. So who knows? You mentioned Kelce. He took a big hit at the end of the game too. Texans in general, this is my segue into the AFC South, but the Texans in general were just beating and battering the Chiefs all night long. They were kicking the shit out of them. When you couple in the fact with Daniel Jones tearing his Achilles, which doing that in a 36-19 loss to the Jaguars, well, AFC South is pretty wide open. I say pretty wide open still.
Oh, Chris.
Huh?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were going to do it. I thought you were going to say if we had any more thoughts, because there was one more thing about the AFC West that I just wanted to like bring up.
Yeah. Oh, please.
I'm sure you all know this, but for those of you listening at home who don't, it is now mathematically impossible for the Kansas City Chiefs to win the AFC West. First time since 2015 where they're not gonna. Obviously, like the dynasty's not dead, but this is just not a good look.
Yeah.
At least this season.
I did see that as well. I can't believe I forgot that. That's like probably the biggest storyline in terms of the Chiefs falling to the 6-7 record.
We kind of danced around that kind of in the sense where we were implying that their season is practically over. I mean, they fell below 500, and we had it in the back of our heads. Just no one said it.
It's surreal to say though, like say it out loud. That feels weird.
So. Yeah. I was more saying just like the playoffs, but like that's more just the division itself. Like,
and I know we're about to move on to the AFC South, but just one more point as far as the AFC playoff picture in general. Three out of the big four, as far as, you know, your elite quarterbacks in the AFC, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, all out of the playoffs as of right now. And, I mean, Josh Allen's barely in it. They're going to make it, but down year. This is are we almost kind of seeing a seismic shift in the AFC playoff picture where you're kind of moving as far as, I mean, maybe they end up retooling and they're just in a little lull, but doesn't this kind of present sort of a calm before the storm where you have these really good teams who probably wouldn't be in contention in other years, kind of have a mini opportunity to really, do something where they wouldn't be able to in other years. And I'm referring to Denver and Jacksonville and Houston, like how many other years would these teams in other years be championship contenders?
Well, I mean, if we're going to go based off of 2017, it's once every 8 years, but, yeah, no, makes sense. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I'm hip with what you're throwing out there.
Appreciate it, buddy.
I got you, bro. We want to respond to that. Anyone or all right. No. Yeah. Obviously like if we're talking like just this grouping, it definitely is very, very weird. Especially considering Patriots, we all thought that it was going to probably be a few years, not even this year.
And a lot of people are trying to say it's over. Like these teams windows are closed.
Yeah.
Their quarterbacks are in their primes right now. So it's like, as long as you have the quarterback and the coach, which some of them don't, but as long as you have the quarterback and kind of the coach, then it's going to take 2 seconds to rebuild. So like,
yeah,
you're going to be back. It's just a matter of time.
You figured out the most crucial spot on a football team, the quarterback. Figure out the rest.
Yep.
All right, AFC South. So Daniel Jones, he tears his Achilles, 36-19 loss to the Jaguars. Jaguars look great. They're at the top of the AFC South. And if it really wasn't them blowing a lead to David Mills, last month, whatever it was, then this is like the Jaguars' division to lose, right? But Texans, couple in with the – and I'll say – I'll call it a defensive dominating game by the Texans since they only let up 10 points and they are some hard hitting mother effers out there too. But obviously looking at more at the Colts though, you look at this injury for Daniel Jones, you look at how it's been going the last few weeks. They started 7-1 and have since gone 1-4. The Colts essentially went all in on this season, on this Daniel Jones season, trading for Sauce Gardner. That was basically their big move. That was their big move to try to get them to elevate an extra level. Sauce Gardner goes down, Daniel Jones out for the rest of for now a calendar year. Unfortunate. And the Colts are in deep, deep trouble. They got Riley Leonard and flying into Indianapolis as of Monday, December 8th, which is the day that we're recording. Phillip Rivers flying into Indianapolis. So Lord knows what the hell is going to happen, but thoughts from you guys. Tuck, we'll start with you.
It started off so well for the Indianapolis Colts. It started so well, and then they ran into a few hiccups. They ran into the Chiefs. They lost that, and then all of a sudden, a little bit of good news came through. They beat Atlanta, and then all of a sudden, they have Sauce Gardner. And I'm like, oh, they're really going for it this year. This could be their one and only chance at winning the Super Bowl or winning the AFC. I thought they were going to have the division in hand. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jacksonville, and all of a sudden, here comes the Colts stumbling down. All of a sudden, Jacksonville versus the Colts, division crown on the line. Well, division crown standings on the line. They have control over their destiny. Then all of a sudden, Daniel Jones goes down, and then it just goes from bad to worse when Jacksonville puts on the gas and they just do not stop. They win handedly because they don't have – good quarterback play in Indianapolis now that Daniel Jones is gone. And it's just been bad. They're still a playoff team, but man, if they don't find something at quarterback, this season might be over for them. And it's unfortunate because they started off so well. They started off 7-1, but now they've lost, what, four of their last five or three of their last four?
Hot take, Tuck. Their season is over.
I mean, they're already out of the playoffs, technically. They're in the eighth spot, which means on the outside looking in.
They're in the seventh.
They're in the eighth.
The Colts?
Yeah, Houston overtook him.
Justin. I am looking at the NFL playoff picture on NFL.com right now, and I can tell you with my own eyes, unless they have changed logos, the Indianapolis Colts are officially on the outside looking in at the eighth seed.
Even if the Chargers end up losing this game, which by the time we're recording right now, 3:33 left in this game, 16-16.
It's very much possible.
Maybe.
But now that they're outside looking at, I thought they were still in. I thought they were still in, my fault. But now that they're on the outside looking in, it could go very downhill very quickly for them. If they don't have convincing quarterback play, that means teams are just going to stack the box with eight and then try to say, make Jonathan Taylor beat us, which he can't. And then once that happens, they can't score anything. So, all in all, yeah, I could see them losing out if they're not careful.
Adam looks like he's got something.
He does.
Yeah, if I could take my mic time.
Yeah, sure.
Real, because holy crap. If you think the quarterback situation is bad, just wait till you hear the schedule they have coming up. They have Seattle right away. Right away, they have Seattle, the 10-3 Seattle Seahawks.
Is that on the road?
Then you have the 49ers. Seahawks is on the road, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
49ers, they're hosting, but I mean, even if you have 44-year-old Philip Rivers. Then you have the Jaguars, who you are hosting, but they still blew your doors out off this past weekend. Then you have the Texans. You may not win another game the rest of the season if you're the Colts. This looks brutal. The other teams in your division, the Jaguars and the Texans, are going the opposite direction of you in a bad way. Bad way for the Colts, that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could legitimately see either one of Jacksonville or Houston winning this division, but I don't know if I see a path where the Colts even make the playoffs, which is insane considering we were thinking just a few weeks ago that this Colts team would end up with a high playoff seed. We thought between New England, Denver, and Indianapolis, who gets the one seed? Well, the Colts just fell off a cliff, and like capital C cliff. It was insane. They're already out of it. They're not just in contention for the ones like out of contention for the one seed. They're completely out. Their schedule looks terrible. Their quarterback just lost both of his legs. It's over. I think this is it.
They have to make the playoffs from the standpoint of they don't have a first-round draft pick next year because of the Sauce Gardner trade.
They gave up there.
They gave up two first-round picks for that. They need to make the playoffs to make it seem, okay, at least we made the playoffs. They can't afford to miss out.
And they wanted Daniel Jones back, by the way. There were reports by, I believe it was Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport, that they were interested in bringing him back to be their quarterback going forward. They thought he was their version of Sam Darnold. I mean, both his legs blown. And listen, I'm just using logic here. I'm no doctor. But just by logic, don't you think if you have him playing with a fractured fibula on one leg, do you not think that he might be overcompensating with the other leg to the point where it puts on extra stress and then maybe that's where his Achilles gets blown? Like, do you not think that there's going to be some sort of overcompensation when you're playing on one leg?
Which, I would say it depends on the leg here in question.
I mean, you would literally be favoring one leg. And even if he wasn't, you're still playing on a fractured fibula. You weren't going to do jack and or shit regardless.
Well, I'm saying like because in the case of Daniel Jones's fractured fibula, it's the way that it actually is more like a high ankle sprain compared to him not actually being able to walk, which besides the point, having to play on a high ankle sprain, it isn't very good in its own right. But I was more saying, like, which leg did he tear his Achilles, if anyone knows?
Right, I think.
Because if it is his right, then that would make sense to Adam's point of overcompensating because the right foot would be his back foot, creating more weight, trying to push off.
I mean, either way, he's going to be overcompensating in some way, shape, or form. I know leg, when it comes to playing quarterback, each leg has sort of a different use. But, I mean, you need to use your front foot to step into your throw. You can't just throw on your back foot, off your back foot. You also need to sort of anchor off that back leg and kind of be able to push your weight from one side to the other. Either way, you can't play on one leg. Like you're going to be overcompensating once in some way, shape or form. Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there have definitely been quarterbacks that have played on one leg.
Well, you've played quarterbacks. So you tell me if I'm wrong.
You know who played on one leg? Phil fucking Rivers.
Yeah. And look at where that got him.
Look at the connection. Let's tear his ACL and run in there. It's like, this is how you do it.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Wait, CJ, did we get to you already or no?
No.
Get to you.
Right leg.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was his right leg. But anyways, regardless, it doesn't matter. You were already 1-3 in your last four going into this game. And honestly, I still don't think they would have won even with Daniel Jones. But it's just the warnings. Like, don't get me wrong. Is the season essentially officially over now that old Danny Derps has been put out to pasture for the remainder of this year? Yes. But let's not pretend. Oh, Talk, you can shake your head at me all you want. But let's
I'm not saying it isn't. I'm saying like they can't see it like that because of the future and the present in front
of them. Good for them. Look, I'm glad that that's happy for them. I'm happy for them. That sounds real nice. But let me explain something to you, funny man. I happen to believe that the warning signs, no, I don't believe, I know this, the warning signs were already there. The alarms were blaring well before, old Danny Derps ruptured his Achilles. That sucks. And that I really do hope he gets well. But I mean, you weren't going to, I mean, I know, like, if Davis Mills beat you, then I don't know. You had no business beating the Texans. The Jaguars are riding the hot hand right now. And as for the Colts, once Sauce Gardner went down, that was concerning. Daniel Jones already injured, and now he's done for the year. If it wasn't already over before, it's really over now. And that just sucks for them. It really does. I'll put on my objective hat here and tell you outright, it's just really unfortunate. They went all in on this year, and, to use a poker term, they went all in, and now they're leaving the table with no money. That's really what it is. And honestly, even if they, re-sign Daniel Jones and he comes back, after his whole fibula thing in one leg and now an Achilles thing in the other, what assurances do you have that he's going to be the same? Also, I'd like to bring up the point that this is one of the worst kind of injuries, not just an Achilles, but a late season injury. And you all know this. We've been watching football for a long time. When these injuries happen this late in a season, it's almost a slam dunk that they're going to miss the beginning part of the next year. So the Colts, dare I say, they're still kind of rudderless? Like, where do you go? Like, where do you go from here? You don't have a first round pick. Daniel Jones, if he was the guy, what assurances do you have that he's still going to be? Like, there are so many question marks. Like, or were they actually good? Were they actually going to do anything? Like, they were imploding before this. Just, they have so many questions, and one offseason is not enough time to answer them.
I'll go a step further. Like, never mind the start of next year. He's done for the entirety of next year. Like,
more likely than not, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
plus he pulls some weird Kobe Bryant comeback, which, No.
That's, I mean, you could look at literally Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, and those two quarterbacks the year after they came back from their Achilles injury were dog shit. Exactly. Absolute dog shit. All right, let's move on. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the AFC North, and Tuck can be depressed. Depression. and obsession. That's a song. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Let's get into the AFC North. Let's just start with, I was thinking about where we should start. Should we start with the game that didn't really matter in terms of the Bills-Bengals game, or should we start with Tuck?
Start just with Bills and Bengals.
Okay, so we'll start with the game that doesn't matter. Really, all this was the Bengals breaking their 8-game winning streak with Joe Burrow as their starting quarterback. That's basically all I saw this as. Besides, like, the first half, I thought that the Bengals were going to run the freaking table. They had me in the first half, but then you had 2 deflected interceptions. Bills take them back, or take one back to the house. They later convert on the second one. And all in all, Josh Allen did his thing. They got 39. They outscored the Bengals offense. That's really all they did. And yeah. All right. Adam, let's start with you.
Yeah, so in the aggregate, Joe Burrow blew this game. It's just plain and simple. They had the game, and he threw a pick six to blow the lead. They had a very good chance to score more points and step on the Bills' throats and really take control of this game late. But he threw a pick six. There's just no way. There's just no way around it. I mean, he threw that one right at him, though. That was not deflected at the line. The second one, the first one was not deflected. That was straight.
I'd have to watch it back. Maybe I'm getting the two mixed up.
It's like it looks like
I thought both of them were deflected.
That was a ball that he probably should have. That ball, the first one looked like a ball that he should have. Like, he had the right idea, but he should have thrown it as a dart, like throw it fast. But he kind of lobbed it, and he couldn't get it straight through the hands of the defender, and he was able to grab it, and there was nobody who was going to get him at that point. The second one, that was knocked around and then picked, but he still threw it too low, so I can't completely give him the free pass for that. But he threw 2 picks in a very short amount of time. So at the same time, 2 things can be true at once, which is what brings me to my point, which is that the Bengals defense is still selling this team. This Bengals team looks so fun to watch. And that was the classic Bengals experience, the Joe Burrow Bengals. It's where you start to get a little invested, and then one of 2 things happen. Either the defense blows it or Burrow gets hurt. One of those things happened. Thank God the other didn't. But this Bengals team is so good for the NFL right now. They're fun to watch. They're likable for the most part. I know the quarterback is. And if the defense could just not get, if it could just get out of its own way, get a stop. I don't know what else to say about that. And the solution to that really goes up to the top, because they decided to bring back all 3 of their big 3 guys on the offense when you really had no business bringing back T. Higgins. All of that money that you spent on Higgins could have been spent on the defense, and you become much more balanced of a team. In any sort of balance that you get, even if it's a middling defense, you're probably in contention. But no, let's pay both wide receiver ones for no freaking reason at all. And of course you got him hurt again too earlier this year.
But Adam, did you not love the T. Higgins catches that he was making? Like, those catches were amazing.
Oh, fuck you. Oh my God. And also, I saw your text in the group chat, and he was making some great, great plays, but he also dropped a couple, if you remember that. But listen, Ja'Marr Chase could have made those 2. All you need is 1 elite target. You really just need 1. If I might just point out, when the Chiefs traded away Travis Kelce, they were still an elite offense.
Tyreek Hill.
They were still an elite offense because they had Travis Kelce. All they needed was a number two. T. Higgins isn't a number two. He's a number one, and they paid him like he was a one. When they still had Ja'Marr Chase, who they also paid like he was a one. So what the hell are we doing here? You have no defense. Spend on that side of the ball. The NFL is so much more fun when the Bengals are in it. It just is. The AFC North, they have some of the better rivalries out there. Between them and the Ravens, the Steelers are always in it. With Joe Burrow in the mix, it's so much fun. And they're doing everything in their power to ruin Joe Burrow's career and just waste it away. He's so likable. He's so fun to watch. And they're ruining it. And yes, he did technically give the game away. But that game shouldn't have been in a position where he could have given it away, because there were so many points that the Bengals scored where that should have just put the game away. But they just kept on. They could not stop Josh Allen. Which elite quarterback too, but so.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come to the defense's defense, and they did get turnovers. That did happen. They did try.
That is true.
Are you sure that wasn't James Cook though? Like, he almost gave it away. He almost gave it away once, and then he did give it away the second time.
Doesn't matter. They still got turnovers for that offense. They did attempt to stop them. And the reason the defense is so bad is because Joe Burrow needed to have his two weapons. That's on him. That's on him as well, just as much as the front office.
Counterpoint, though. There were many times during the Patriots dynasty that Tom Brady wanted new weapons. He wanted Antonio Brown so bad. He went out kicking and screaming, wanting Antonio Brown.
And he got him.
He eventually got him, but they eventually released him after one game, after he decided to be a not good person off the field. There were so many times throughout the Brady Belichick dynasty that Brady wanted weapons. And to Belichick's credit, you know what he did? He did this most of the time, because you really, as long as you have the quarterback and you have some form of weapons on that side of the ball, you don't need it. You still have a budget that you have to allocate to the defense. And that's how the Patriots were able to really churn out those championship teams. The thing with the Bengals is they listened to Joe Burrow. Just because I believe Joe Burrow is a great elite quarterback doesn't mean that I believe that he knows what's best for the team. I believe Tom Brady was one of the greatest is the greatest quarterback of all time. Doesn't mean he made the best choices. So they shouldn't have listened to him in a long-winded sense.
But they did, and now they're stuck like this. I don't feel bad for Cincinnati at all. They knew the situation they were getting into.
Well, you're a Ravens fan, so.
Not only that, it's just basic common sense. It's just Chuck, basic
Adam, sense. I just would like to point out, I want to say thank you. This is a point that I have said for now like a season and a half. Thank you. I have literally said, I think Joe Burrow's a great quarterback, but he has to go from being a great quarterback to being an adult. And if you remember, from that first offseason after his rookie year, we saw the glimpses of him drooling over the dangly, shiny object in front of him instead of preparing the team. See, the Bengals wanted to shore up the offensive line and draft Penei Sewell out of Oregon. Burrow threw a tantrum to get his buddy Ja'Marr Chase. And what happens? They go to the Super Bowl. We're on the final play. Chase is wide open, and Joe Burrow gets pile-driven into the ground by Aaron Donald because they have no offensive line. Burrow did it again when he wants Chase to be paid and with T. Higgins, where now you have no defense. And also, Adam, you are correct when you say it's up to the team, even if Joe Burrow was publicly emasculating them, to say, for the love of God, do you not value offensive line or defense? Well, we know the answer to that. The answer to that's apparently no. But yeah, as far as the game goes, this was winnable. Josh Allen's very good quarterback. But hey, once again, who needs defense when you're Joe Burrow, I guess, is probably what Joe Burrow says. But yeah, once again, I've said it before, and I'm glad that we're all on the same page now. Maybe Chris is, and I'd like to think he is. He hasn't said his piece yet. But literally, this, what we are seeing is the culmination of all of Joe Burrow's desires. He's publicly pounding the table to get his buddies paid. He prioritizes flash over substance. He wanted them to draft Chase instead of, you know, shoring up the offensive line that got you hurt your rookie year. And at this point, no, I don't feel bad. Is the league more fun when the Bengals are good? Yes. But at this point, you reap what you sow. And be it Zach Taylor or the GM whose name escapes me, someone there in the coaching staff of the front office has to grow some balls and save Burrow from himself.
I still feel bad for Burrow. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I see both sides. Like, I will always be an advocate for players trying to get the bag for themselves and whatnot. But I also am in the same boat as you guys. Like, in this being the case, like, you also shoot yourself in the, like, grab the bag, make as much fucking money as possible, but also know that you're going to be hindering your chances. That's kind of how I look at it. That's basically all I got for that. Eagles Chargers 19-19 with 3 seconds left. I would assume the Eagles are about to knee it out. We'll, as mentioned, we'll save that for later. All right, Tuck. Ravens. Is this safe to say that this is the last? We'll call it. How long was the win streak? Like, wasn't that long, but like 5 games.
It was 5 games to get us to 6-5, and then we've lost 2 straight.
So would you say that these last 2 games have really just been the culmination of this 5-game winning streak, but now shown in the loss column?
Yes and no. There's good, but the bad is finally showing out.
Because Lamar was really bad.
Yes and no. I think he's better than what the play showed. But again, that's the frustrating part. I know some of it is on Lamar, but again, he's not healthy and he hasn't been practicing. I think some of it is just due to not having a lot of reps, and he's just missing the timing of the throws, and sometimes it just gets away from him.
So you're saying that Lamar missing 1 practice a week has been affecting them?
Yes. At minimum, 1 practice a week has been affecting the Ravens' offense, and more specifically, himself when it comes to chemistry with the Ravens' wide receivers. I also would like to say, I want my right guard gone. I need him gone yesterday. If you guys don't know how bad it is, we can't get rid of him because our other right guard, Ben Cleveland, just got put on the NFL suspension list for illegal substances. I can't get rid of this guy. He is literally stuck at that position, and I can't move him.
You shouldn't have let Patrick McCurry walk, bro.
I don't know that now? In hindsight, I wouldn't let him walk. But again, we had Voorhees. We wouldn't have moved him to right guard. But again, I digress. I really miss him now, considering what I'm dealing with Daniel Faalele. I've known him for a while. I didn't think he was that bad at right tackle. He wasn't this bad last year. But dear God, what is going on? I remember I'm watching this game, and there's just been too many instances where Benton, number 95, is destroying him at that position. One play in particular, it was like a 6-yard gain past Isaiah Likely. He throws Lamar Jackson has to throw the ball off his back foot to complete passes because Daniel Faalele is so ass at that position right now. I cannot believe we can. And John Harbaugh says, well, our O-line actually played very well. Fuck you. That's what I can't believe he said that on national television. What a straight face, no less. I can't stand Daniel Faalele. Angie Voorhees, I can only do but so much with him. He's average. Daniel Faalele, I need him gone because he'll get Lamar Jackson like injured, like out of the game gone. If only Lamar Jackson could have some, you know, stability with his line, I think he could get healthier. Unfortunately, that'll never happen with my right guard, which means his play will continue to suffer and will be in this perpetual motion of like, he'll make some plays here, but he'll miss some plays there. It's like 50-50 with him. Like, he'll make a spectacular play, and then when another play tends to happen, he might overthrow Zay Flowers. He might underthrow Derrick Henry, things of that nature. And it's just so damn annoying watching this offense play, because you know what they're capable of doing. They're just not doing it right now. The Steelers were not that good yesterday. We made them look like world beaters, but they were not that good yesterday. But it just pisses me off just watching the Ravens, because you know how good they can be, but they're playing like ass. And I just wish they were just so bad that I didn't care, but they're not that bad. But no, I have to care, because they are good enough to win the rest of these games. But I know, like, they'll get me close enough to wanting to be invested, but then they'll lose it in the end, and that'll make me annoyed. I know we had bad calls yesterday. I know the refs weren't particularly good yesterday, considering I don't even know what a catch is in the NFL is anymore. Can any of you tell me what a catch is in the NFL? I'm being legit honest, because I'm concerned what this is. I thought Isaiah Likely had a touchdown. Apparently not. I don't know what a catch is. But overall, the Ravens deserve the loss that we had yesterday. We deserve to get beat by the Steelers. If we somehow win out, we can still win the division. I have no hope. I'm in misery. I didn't fix the little prompt that says Ravens fan. I'm depressed. I'm miserable. I can't stand watching my team right now, but I'll continue to watch. I'll continue to be disappointed. I'll continue to be in misery. But all in all, it's just damn. And then we got to face Cincinnati, who just kicked our ass on Thanksgiving.
All right, one word. One word, Tuck. Do the Ravens win the division, yes or no?
They would do something like win the division, too.
CJ.
That's a bad thing.
Let's pass it off to you. Thoughts? I mean, taking everything that Tuck just said, and I'll let you respond to it.
Well, first, Tuck, I want to say I changed your little tagline there. You're welcome.
I see it. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Not anytime. Friends help each other. So as for me, I was watching this game of Buffalo Wild Wings with some of my friends, and wouldn't you know it? Oh, hey, it's just me. Hi, me. Wouldn't you know it? I look up and it's 20-9, and I'm like, oh well, wow. Peak ravening is happening right here, boys and girls. And then, do you know what I see? The Ravens fight and claw their way back into the game. And I say to myself, oh, hey, well, you know, that's just Mike Tomlin's cycle. He's going to blow it. And then I see one of the most egregious reffing decisions I have seen in my 23 years on this planet. But we'll probably all address that later, so I won't belabor the point. But Ravens fans, Ravens media, Ravens front office personnel, can we fire John Harbaugh, please and thank you? I mean, I'm not even a Ravens fan. And I'll pound the table for this hack to get, you know, chucked right into the Chesapeake. Because let me tell you something, my fellow Americans. I'm so tired of this guy, and like Tuck said, you know, going out there saying, oh, you know, it was a good game, offensive line played well, you know, just didn't go how we want. He's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. That is how bad this is. That is how bad this is looking. And as for the Steelers, oh, what, you think you won and you're good? Newsflash, you are the weakest division winner of everybody in the playoff picture. I would take Jacksonville over you. I would take, and sure as shit, I'd take New England and Denver over you. And honestly, I would take the Bills over you, and I'd probably take the Chargers and Texans as well. Yeah, I'm at 7-6 of being the four seed. Good gravy. And one more thing. I do believe at the end of this season, before I hand it off probably to Adam, I believe that either Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh gets fired at the end of the season. That's not necessarily something I want. It's not a want, but it is something I believe. whoever between the two misses the playoffs, I think gets canned.
I like it, Adam.
Yeah, the Steelers may be winning this division so far, but this division has been so bad. The Steelers are really, what a paper team they were earlier this year, huh? Like, you had an aging Aaron Rodgers. You had a defense that looked good on paper, but it fell apart fast. I'm going to have the Ravens winning this division. I mean, yeah, they.
No, please.
Why?
No, I don't want.
He wants the draft pick. He wants the draft pick.
I mean, it doesn't matter at this point.
I don't want to win the division. I know as a Ravens fan, that's hard for me to say. I would like to win the division, but if we made the playoffs, I'm not sure who we beat. Like, okay. I'm serious.
But I'm not dealing with what we want to happen. I'm dealing with what will happen. And I'm telling you, the Steelers are imploding. Their quarterback is playing with one hand. And I know Lamar isn't healthy himself, but I trust the 28-year-old quarterback who is in his prime over the 39-year-old guy who's at the point where he's cooked, he's done.
I mean, I don't know. Rodgers also had 284 yards and two touchdowns. 23.
It's against the Ravens defense.
He had a damage stock into
it. Well, yeah, but that's statistics. I mean, give it the eye test. The guy is just gone. Like, I at least thought that his arm talent was still there. He could still sling it around. But now that he has this broken arm, I mean, you can't even do. I don't even know if he can do that.
I'll agree with you in terms of like the entirety of the season, but I felt like that he looked a little bit like his old self this on Sunday. Not saying like he was back to prime Rodgers, but there was like little flashes here and there. Nothing crazy.
I mean, every dog has his day, but I'm just at a point where. It's the AFC North, and I'm starting to get concerned about the future of this division. We just got done talking about another one of those teams in the last segment, but there's really not much of a future in this division. There's the Ravens, who I'm sure will retool and they're going to get better, but outside of that, the Bengals can't get out of their own way. The Browns are dinking around with two rookie quarterbacks over there. And the Steelers can't seem to even want to get out of the shadow of mediocrity. So this used to be one of the better divisions in all of football. Like, it was must-see TV. And I remember the days where refs had to, the league had to warn, preeminently warn both teams in any division match between these two, saying, watch it. And then there would be fights anyways, these dirty hits, and that, you know, it would get rough. They were legitimate division rivals. It was must see TV. And now we're getting to a point where it's a nothing burger. I mean, even for fans of the teams in this division, who cares who wins this division? You're not going anywhere. And things are probably going to get worse for you before they get better and you're able to retool and get back to championship contention. It really is. It's getting sad the way that this division has fallen off in recent years.
I can definitely concur with that. That's for sure. AFC North has been slowly a dumpster fire.
That is not your opinion. That is a fact.
Yeah, it is. Anything else that we want to touch on from this game? Or, well, Adam and CJ, yes or no question, will the Ravens win the division?
Yeah, Ravens are taking it.
All right, CJ?
Off the top of my head, I am tilting towards Pittsburgh because I saw their remaining schedules and Pittsburgh's schedule is just a little friendlier. But Ravens definitely have a higher ceiling. Oh, and before we go... Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Was that a catch?
I didn't even see it. Oh, no, are you saying no, the
Raven, Isaiah Likely, was that a catch?
Yeah. I mean, he took three steps.
He took two and then they lost the fumble. He's making a football play. I thought he was making a football action when he's the ball away. He did.
Yeah, that's a football play. Tuck. There's a term called vaguely specific, specifically vague. That describes the NFL's catch policy. It's literally 2025. It's the big 25, and we still don't know what a catch is. The league, I know I say this every time it happens, but the league genuinely has to do something, because every time they try some tomfoolery like this, it's just going to embolden the tinfoil hat wearers who say, oh, they keep it this way so that they could decide on the fly for whatever Vegas wants. All I'm saying, NFL, is that you're not convincing me that it's not the case. I will leave that there. And for what it's worth, yes, it's a catch. I know the announcers were like, oh, you need 3 steps for a football move. You catch the ball, you have to take 3 steps, then it's good. Here's my comeback. Okay, so then by your logic, every single toe tap catch or toe drag swag, as NFL Network calls it, is incomplete by your own logic. Good job.
Yeah. All right.
I just don't get it. But that's not the
reason. Literally, no one does. Like, it has been a problem forever, and I think we're all in agreement that's a catch.
Yeah. All right. Let's step aside for a quick break, and we'll talk about the Eagles-Chargers game. They're still going here in overtime, but we'll just still give our opinions and then live reactions to the winner. This is the Fulmer Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or...
Back here for the Fulmer Rooski Podcast. 4th down and 4 for the Eagles. 3:23 to go in OT. This is essentially the game right here. Live reactions to the ending. Oh, geez. What the hell is that?
Yeah, they were able to draw number 98 of the Chargers offside.
There's a one. Imagine we get another tie.
Yep. Oh, Ravens legend, Adafe Owe, by the way. Shout out, Tuck.
There ain't no
got the offsides.
I don't understand. Right, well,
was he a first round pick? Time to
talk about 2021.
Talk about game in its entirety. I mean, both teams have looked terrible up to this point. Jalen Hurts has 3 interceptions. I can't consider him top 10 anymore. That's just me. Like, I'll give you top 15, but he's 15. I just can't do it with him anymore. Sure, he can be a guy that performs at his best in the playoffs, but goodness gracious, man. Like,
but you got to get there first. Good Lord.
Yeah, you got to get there, but Nick Foles also got there. Like, he also performed at an extremely elite level in the Super Bowl. So, all right, 1st and 10, drops it off, Goddard. But in terms of this game, I am still very not confident in the Chargers, more or less their defense maybe. Their offense, I mean, Eagles' secondary has been great. The run defense has been fine besides last week. Eagles, I think less of them as prior to how I did coming into this game.
No Jalen Carter either for this game. Jalen Carter. The run defense took a hit.
Oh.
2nd and 7. Hurts to throw. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
1st down.
Goddard. 1st down. Adam, thoughts so far on this game? I mean, what to even make of the chart? Like, we know the Chargers are banged up, but the Eagles are obviously probably going to be the main story here. Jesus Christ, Tuck. Oh.
Tuck's ahead of us for those watching YouTube.
The biggest nothing burger.
Why
did he do that?
Number 4. That is game. The Chargers win. 22-19.
Oh, my God.
Top 20.
He's number 20. 4 interception game. Four interception game. Are you kidding me?
5 turnovers.
Coming into the game.
Guys, people are listening to us here. Okay. So
they wanted a live reaction. We're giving it to them. Oh my God. This is
Adam. Jalen Hurts, 20th best quarterback in the league.
I mean, bro, you went from top 10 to top 20 in one night.
Yeah,
this is it. Why would you
even try that?
I can't do it with him anymore. I can't.
Jalen Hurts is having a really bad year. This is one of his worst years that he has had to date. But I think here's my problem with Jalen Hurts, now that we're on him, It's that people go to such extremes year to year on Jalen Hurts. At one point, he's a really good quarterback. This offense is elite. You know, they're beating Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They're winning a championship. The year before that, they're saying, yeah, he ain't that good. He's only winning because of the tush push and that elite offensive line and the team around him. They won 11-6. The year before that, they went to a Super Bowl. Holy crap, this kid is elite. And now we're right back. We go to extremes. Can we find some sort of medium here? I understand he's had offensive coordinators in as many years as he's played, but we need to let calmer heads prevail here. Because listen, I hate to be the Jalen Hurts defender here, but the kid's been pretty damn good throughout his career. And in the aggregate, he has been very good. He's had some highs and lows, but I think he's going to be back eventually. This is, again, just like we have mentioned about Patrick Mahomes, about Josh Allen, about Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, they're all having down years. But we all collectively agree that eventually, some way, somehow, things are going to get better. Why can't we say that about Jalen Hurts? Because he's still been a good quarterback. He won you a Super Bowl. Not just anyone can win Super Bowls, let alone against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And also, 2 years prior to that, also dance with Patrick Mahomes and only lose in a one-score game, a game where you could argue they probably should have won. And he almost single-handedly helps them win that game. He has, what, a 7-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio in Super Bowls? That doesn't just happen. Let alone against the Chiefs, like the baddest bully on the block you danced with. And we're just forgetting that all of a sudden. And we forgot it the year prior when he went to his first Super Bowl. I'm just saying he's still a winner. And yeah. I don't know how he goes to these extremes. Because I don't know how you could, like, they had such a great offense. And now it just looks so stagnant. I just don't get it. But I refuse to go to these extremes where, on one hand, like, literally just 5 minutes ago, we were talking about him as a top 10 quarterback in this league. Now it's like, well, I don't know.
Can't see him as a top 10 quarterback in this league.
He went top 15 at most throughout the game. And then after that fourth pick, he said top 20.
Look, I'll say I overreacted. There are definitely like not 17 other quarterbacks that I would take over Jalen Hurts. I will say that. But in terms of like, I think two things can be true at once. But when you look at Jalen Hurts, the extremes through the regular season are so insane. But, like, yeah, give him credit. He shows up when it matters most in the Super Bowl and playoffs. But Nick Foles did the same exact thing. He wasn't great during the regular season, but he's a Super Bowl MVP in his own right. So it's not discrediting your point, but I just can't put him in that fact. Like, it's hard for me to really put him into that fact, I guess. But it's like, then it's so hard because now you guys are trying to talk me back into putting him back into the top 10 all of a sudden. So for those reasons, obviously.
I'm just like, if you're Philly, how do you get off the roller coaster? Because how do you go from going to a Super Bowl and nearly winning to being 1-done in the playoffs after going 11-0 to start the season, or 9-0, 10-0, something like that. I think it was 9-0 to start the season, finish 11-6, 1-done by a lesser team. Then you go, you barnstorm your way through the very next season in 2024, and you blow the doors off of the same team you lost to 2 years prior. And now you're back to where you were in 2023, where you just, like, you're winning games, but you don't look good. And you're looking worse as the season goes on. Just something, how do you get off the roller coaster? I understand that you have these such great offenses to the point where you lose your offensive coordinators, but how do you keep them? Like, what do we do? Can you find somebody, a replacement who's, you know, competent? How do we fix this? if you're the Eagles, and you, it may be too late because you're going to have a lot of star talent that's going to ask to be out of here. Everyone's starting to age. Everyone's going to start asking for more money or get frustrated. They're not getting the ball too much. No names. And they're all going to leave. You're going to lose some players and maybe too late, but I don't know. How do you figure this out? Because we're at a point where the lows are way too low. And weirdly enough, the highs are too high because you're losing your superstar coordinators. I don't get it.
Yeah.
That's just the part of the league. If you play at a high level, people are going to want their coordinators as head coaches. That's just the way it goes. Unfortunate as it is, Jalen Hurts just so happens to be the victim of it repeatedly because his two coordinators went to Super Bowls.
But it shouldn't go to such extremes, though. Like, I don't know. Like, how do you fail to replace your last coordinator with a good one after you just had a good one? And then you do replace him with the bad one with the good one. You lose the bad one, or rather, you lose the good one, and then you get a bad one again.
What do you want them to do? The only thing,
I mean, that's literally not even a Jalen Hurts or anything. That's just how it's been. That is literally just how it's been. Chris invoked Nick Foles. I could take you back to that Super Bowl. Doug Peterson lost Frank Reich as OC. And they were not the same next year. Even when they had Carson Wentz, who was coming off an MVP caliber year, he did not look the same. Nick Foles didn't even look the same come the playoffs, and the Saints ended up taking him behind the barn and putting one in the back of their head in the playoffs. And that's just what keeps happening. It sucks, but I'm just going to say it. Sirianni hurts. They're just coordinator dependent. And I say this every offseason. Coordinators are such an underrated part of the game. People do not give them their flowers. I mean, the great ones get their flowers, but it just sucks for Hurts that he's got a new one every year. And I remember I was going back and forth with a buddy of mine, obviously not on the show, where I said, the guy get rid of Kevin Petullo. And somebody said, oh, well, that's not fair to Jalen Hurts. He has a new OC every year. Well, I don't think that's an excuse to get rid of Petullo. He's just bad. You don't want to keep someone who has Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and a good offensive line, and reduce them into this, whatever this Frankenstein's monster of names stapled together is, because that's what that offense is under Kevin Petullo. And you know what the worst part is? Just based on my gut, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I don't think they're going to fire him. I genuinely don't think they're going to fire him. Because Nick Sirianni at his core is petulant and he's stubborn. Because if he fires Petullo, who, by the way, like I said, is his buddy, and it's as close to an NFL nepotism hire as you get, like they are friends off the field. If he does that, then he thinks, oh, well, I've capitulated to the fans. The fans think they run things. I'm just going to keep Petullo out of spite because that's what's going to fuel him. It's going to be spite. And the only loser is going to be Jalen Hurts. And don't be shocked when a certain player, once again, no names, says, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore.
It's A.J. Brown. That's who we're referring to. Tuck, you got anything you want to add?
Chris really understands no names.
unfortunate. This is just a bad game. I still think Jalen Hurts, for the most part, is still a top 10 quarterback. He just had a very, very, very bad game all around. Just the Eagles had a bad game all around. Just very unfortunate. I think they'll bounce back because they have an easier schedule coming up. But this was really bad offensively. I'm not sure they can fix it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to.
One more thing. Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback with four interceptions since Michael Vick in 2012.
Another Eagles quarterback.
Yeah.
Four interception a game. It's a Philly thing. Also, didn't he only have like two coming into this game?
I'm going to say that was probably
19 to two interceptions. He leaves with six.
Yeah. So he tripled his interceptions in a game. God. Wow.
And I would lost the fumble.
Did you say the first Eagles quarterback to do that?
Yeah, first Eagles quarterback to do that since Michael Vick in 2012.
Nice. How about that? With that, the Eagles now drop down to the third, or did pretty much stay.
No, they stayed.
Yeah, they stay. Still over the Bucks, and no other movement really. Or well, the Chargers.
Now the Chargers overtook the Bills. Chargers are number five. Bills are number six.
Yeah. So I mean, Chargers. Not much else to really make of them besides they're hurt, and it's still a good win. It's still a really good win for them.
Before we wrap it up, we got to talk odds real quick. Phillies.
We actually odds, still have top three, bottom three before we even get to the odds.
I know. But I was just going to say, as far as the odds go, Philly dropped from like 96 to 93. They're fine. But the Chargers went from, I think, 60 to 76. Makes sense. They are going more likely in there. And they put some distance between themselves and in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And they face Kansas City coming up.
And obviously going to get some help from the Colts. Probably going to lose a few more games down the road as well. All right. Let's get into the week 14, top three, bottom three. All right. Another great week of football coming to an end. And we'll start with the Thursday night matchup. The Lions. 44-30 win against a very hot Dallas Cowboy team. And when you look at how the Lions were coming into this game, they were very inconsistent. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, inconsistent. So this is just a great win, especially a bounce back after losing on Thanksgiving, putting up 44 against the Cowboys. Texans being just alive right now. Staying alive in the AFC playoff race, and now they're in that final AFC playoff wild card spot. And anytime you can get a win against the Chiefs is a good day. And Texans defense is looking like the top defense in the league at the moment. Packers, easy enough, you know, a win against your hated rival, and most importantly, you now are in the second spot in the NFC playoff race, and now at the top spot in the NFC North. Anything you guys want to chime in on from that?
All three of them had quality wins. Impressed by all of them. Not good job.
Yeah. Bottom three. Commanders, they got shut out. Didn't put up any points. 31-0 against J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. They got nined. And on top of that, too, you know, for some reason you start Jaden Daniels, and lo and behold, he got hurt again. And they take him out of the game, and they don't bring him in for health concerns. And it's like, well, why the fuck did you even start the game to begin with? I think we're starting to get into some points right now where hot take, Dan Quinn's starting to make some moves where, like, those are fireable offenses. Like, those are low-key some fireable, like, Jaden Daniels starting this week. That could be a fireable offense. The Buccaneers losing to the Saints, 24-20. Bucks are in trouble. Big trouble. Basically, they can thank their lucky stars the Panthers weren't playing this week, because if the Panthers were playing this week and won, they would no longer have control of the NFC South. And last but not least, the Chiefs. Low-key top three, though, because now they're 6-7, but, like, now they're bottom three. Only 10 points. They got brutalized. Look, I think most importantly, they got brutalized at home on primetime. That's the biggest thing I really see when I see the Chiefs, especially on top of the fact that they're no longer in contention for the AFC West, and their playoff. You may as well just say the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs, period. But obviously, we talked about that plenty earlier in this episode. But thoughts from you guys?
Yeah. When I look at the Commanders, And just the way that, I mean, yeah, rushing back Jaden Daniels is a fireable offense as far as Dan Quinn goes. But I think it's an absolute travesty the way that the Commanders have treated Jaden Daniels as far as coaching him up in his playing style, as far as not coaching out the recklessness that he had pre-draft. We all knew that he had a reckless play style, the way he ran. He did not know how to slide. There were all these memes that were out about how he takes hits like a Looney Tunes character, because he just it's the way that he's so little as far as his build, as far as his frame, rather. He has good enough height that whenever he gets hit by a bigger guy, which the interior D linemen are big, he just gets thrown around like a rag doll. And they just don't – it's not even just the fact that he needs to be better towards not taking hits, but they need to stop trying to turn him into this hard dual-threat quarterback. He's a solid runner, but he throws such a beautiful ball. He's such an accurate passer. He knows how to scan the field. He has a good pocket presence. Why are you making him a dual-threat quarterback? Why are you making him this quarterback where you make running such a big part of his game? He doesn't need to do that. It's not a big part of being a quarterback. He doesn't need to do that. And the Commanders are trying to turn him into this dual threat guy. And Jaden Daniels' mom, I completely understand. He's trying to protect his son, saying don't project RG3 onto him. But it seems like the Commanders are actually doing that to him. Like they're trying, they see him, they see his abilities, and they try to turn him into the same guy. He doesn't need to do that. Maybe RG3 needed to do that in order to be a better player, because his legs were part of his game. But as far as, please change it. I'm just not used to it. It's interesting.
Okay.
I was playing around with it earlier. Cause I'm looking at myself as I'm doing this thing. Listen, that was a big part of RG3's game because he needed it. Jaden Daniels throws such a good ball and he's such a good quarterback that he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to rely on his speed and his elusiveness, on his athleticism. That's all good. But the Commander's trying to turn it into such a big part of his game. I mean, it's ruining him. That's a big issue.
Yeah. No, I agree. And like, it's not even that I think Dan Quinn's going to get fired. He's not getting fired. Like this, you look at Washington, this is the season from hell. And that basis alone, along with Washington making the NFC Championship last year, like I don't see Dan Quinn getting fired. Should definitely get another year. But as far as what Washington is doing, yeah. I mean, I can imagine they're trying to tell him to play it more safe, but this is kind of just more or less the result of a young quarterback still finding his way through the league and figuring it out. But chances are he's going to be figuring it out a little too late.
I mean, at least it's his left elbow. Like, it's,
yeah, that is the good thing.
But I don't know. He throws such a good ball. He doesn't have to be what they're trying to turn him into. He just doesn't have to.
Yeah. I don't think they have a choice because they don't have a running game and he's good with his legs. So they don't have a choice.
So like, don't sacrifice your long-term for a short-term game. Mm-hmm. Like just live with the bad running game. The Patriots didn't have a good running game earlier this year. They didn't have Drake May running around like a psychopath.
I'm just telling you the reason why. They don't also have Travion Henderson. They don't also have a rookie running back they could have used all this time, but they wanted to stick with Ramondre Stevenson.
Outside of winning a championship, your number one priority is to protect your quarterback for the long term. That's the top priority. If you don't have the long-term elite quarterback, then you have nothing.
In their eyes, they were one game away from winning a championship.
because they had the quarterback. They had the guy. They had him. Well, I hope they still have him. I hope they didn't ruin him.
I hope they don't. Technically, they still do have him, but
they still do have him. But
maybe
hope. Yeah, see how that plays out. Yeah, definitely gonna be. First and foremost, we talked about this like a month ago, but like Washington's gonna have to actually rebuild halfway into their rebuild. Because like that, it's one of the oldest teams in the league, and our defense is also very old. Like most of their youth is on the offensive side, which, by the way, Zach Ertz torn ACL. We may have just saw the last of Zach Ertz, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Great career for him. Unfortunate way for him to go down. But yeah. All right. Anything else we want to touch on from either the Commanders or anything else we want to bring up for before we end the show?
No, not really.
Well,
not outside of just worry for the Bucks, which we've already talked about in the past, I'm good.
All right. That'll do it for us tonight or today. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast and celebrating 5 years with us. Thank you for tuning in and following us on our social media platforms. Currently at 11,700 followers on Instagram since starting up. And just want to thank each and every one of you for being along for the ride. But new episode coming out on Friday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, Justin Tucker, CJ Medeiros, Adam Wright, I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Friday. Over and out.